Let us pray. Holy and Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, the great God who has created all things. And we give Thee our thanks, we give Thee our attention and our praise. As we pause at the end of this busy day to come into Thy house of prayer, to come to the place where the believers gather together, where we have often felt thy nearness and thy presence, where we felt thy comfort, where we've felt thy correction, where we have learned of thee and of thy great love. And we come again this evening hour, Lord, for the same. For our souls are in need of refreshing. We long for thy presence and for thou to be near us and with us, not only when we gather, but throughout this life's journey. And so we pray, Lord, that thou would visit us and be present with by thy Holy Spirit to instruct and guide us in thy truth. Bless thy word. For without thee, Lord, if thou art not the builder, the laborers labor in vain. Lord, without thee, we would also be here in vain. So we call upon thee, we plead for thy mercy, and ask, Lord, thy blessing to be with us, that thou would show us the way, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Desire to stay with the passage of scripture that we have open to us this evening, which is found in Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. And I'd like to read chapters 3 and 4 with God's help. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you in to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers. Ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Something that really stands out of this chapter, these two chapters that we've read, is just how clearly God sees the hearts of every man, He knows where each of us are. And he knows the questions that go through our minds, even if they are not spoken. And just like this chapter, for some offers comfort, for others offers great trembling and fear, so that truth too, that God knows all of our hearts, comforts some and troubles others. The message of Malachi to the people is the same message that all the prophets had. There's a message to return. Return to the covenant. That's a message that is very unpopular in the day that it's spoken, because nobody likes to think that they're far away. And yet, there were prophets that God sent in the Old Testament to call the people back to his covenant. And the New Testament speaks of prophets. It speaks of prophecy. And the role is the same, that we're to be called back to the covenant, but to the covenant that's established in the blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant, to a new and living way, the way of light and life and peace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Malachi has a message that speaks of the new covenant and how it will be brought about. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Speaking of John the Baptist, who preached in the wilderness, who warned and told the nation that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and the Messiah would be coming, and that they were to prepare their hearts as a way for the Lord to enter in. And he came and he brought the message, and some responded. Some came to the baptism. Some came to that washing of confession and repentance to prepare their way for the Lord who would come. And it says here that the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we remember the account of when Jesus came to the temple and what he did. We recall that at the end of his 3 years of ministry, he came to the temple and purged it. Yet we also see that he came another time. He came in the beginning of the Gospel of John in chapter 2. Where John writes that the Passover was at hand and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found what was going on in the temple. Those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." What is the temple? What is the temple today? It's a pile of rocks that stands in a country that's contested. But what is the temple that Jesus came to cleanse? Is it not the heart of man? Are we not the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so the way of preparation that John spoke about is for our hearts. What Jesus is doing in the temple is he is showing in a visible, in a tangible way, what he intends to do in each of our hearts to cleanse, to purify. He says, take these things out. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. He speaks that to the Jews. He speaks that to us. And what treasures we hold within our hearts. Malachi asks a question, inspired by the Lord. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who will stay and listen to the Lord who says these words? Who cares? Who longs to hear? For he's coming like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. We see who stayed. We see who stayed and listened at Jesus' feet as he taught. It was those who knew they were lost, who knew they were dirty, who knew they were impure, and had made their hearts ready, and were willing to hear something difficult, willing to hear something that challenged them, willing to hear someone who had a message that pushed them beyond what their friends and themselves could do. God has an intent for his refining work. It says that he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi, that's a tribe of Israel. It was a tribe of Israel that had no inheritance in the land, but whose inheritance were to be the priest of God. God is also purifying a priesthood of believers and preparing them. This is us, God's children, to purge them as gold and silver, to try them in the fire, the trial of our faith, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That we might offer our hearts unto the Lord, that by his cleansing they would be pleasing in his sight. Just like Enoch, who Hebrews tells us pleased God. Just like the Ephesians, who Paul says were accepted in the beloved by God's mercy and grace. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. A fitting offering, a fitting sacrifice. And oh, how Christ was grieved by what the Jews thought God wanted and what they were hoarding in their temple. They had collected all of the animals, the sheep, the money, and the tables. They had offered their tithes of the small mint and anise, like Jesus says. But Jesus didn't want that. That wasn't a proper sacrifice. He doesn't want our things. He wants us. And he doesn't want our things to be put away. He wants the things that are impure about us to be put away. He doesn't want the fire to touch our goods. He wants the fire to touch our hearts, to purge. As sacrifice would be given and a knife might be used to cut, he doesn't want to cut away our things only, but to circumcise our hearts. We would much prefer that the knife and the fire would hit somewhere else. Not to that sensitive spot within our inner man. Not the things that we truly hold dear. But that's exactly where God wants to go. And that's exactly how he does his work. For the priesthood, there is sanctification that's taking place. For those that are against God, sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, those that oppress the hireling and his wages, they are grouped into one category, into a type of people, a type of people that he says, "Fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." To fear the Lord, the word tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of learning. It's the beginning of applying the things that the Word of God teaches. And it's a dangerous thing to replace the fear of God with fear of men. We see how that worked out for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were far more concerned with what people thought of them and the praise of men and the fear of men rather than the praise of God and the fear of God. Malachi has a message for the Jews that is not complimentary. And the Lord has a message for them that's not complimentary. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord is faithful to his covenant. Yet the Jews, children of Israel, were a stiff-necked people. They were stubborn. They didn't want to listen. It says that from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. You know, that's the exact reason why the ordinances were given, because they were stiff-necked, because they were rebellious. They needed it to keep them in line. because their heart was far from the Lord. Over time, they transformed the meaning of the law into a pathway to righteousness. And they felt that that was the way that God was accepting them and that they would truly be God's people. But they forgot that the whole reason the law was given was because they were a stiff-necked people and they needed a law to keep them in line. The New Testament speaks that the love of Christ constrains us. For the believer, it's the love of Christ that holds us close, that keeps us walking in the light. This is what we need. A desire for a rule, a desire for a law, is more the desire for exceptions rather than the desire to submit to what we know already. And even though this repeating story about the heart of man comes over and over again, the message still is, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But the heart of these people is so stubborn and so wicked and has not considered its way. The people ask, "Wherein shall we return? What do you mean? Where did we go? We don't even know. We're not questioning ourselves. We're just accepting whatever is popular. And we feel pretty good about ourselves." This is the attitude of the Hebrews at the time. And God says that this is robbery. They were not giving tithes and offerings. They had not brought into the house of the Lord. They had not brought the sacrifice that was appointed to them. So the Lord offers them a challenge. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." But the words of the people, as the Lord is reaching his hand, saying, "Return to me," and saying, "Well, even put me to the test and see if my word isn't true. I'm not withholding something from you that's good for you. I'm willing to give," he says. Yet, their heart was still, it says, stout against them, stubborn, short. "Ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" And the Lord replies, "Ye have said, it is in vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" The idea there is that they did not see a benefit to themselves. They perceived that serving the Lord was not in their best interest. What they saw was people that were proud and wicked and that were tempting God that had all the things that they wanted. They were happy. They were set up, being propped up. And they were being delivered. And it seemed like that was the better path. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge for every man. You see a path that's before you. And you think, that looks good. I see what's happening. See it with my eyes. And pursue it. And yet faith says, God has spoken. God has promised. Which one do you see and which one do I see? Which one do we believe? Ungodliness will continue to grow in this world. And there will be advantages to those who tempt God. And that's what we will see with our physical eyes. But we must hear the words of Jesus Christ. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Then by contrast to these ones that are replying against God with questions, there describes those that truly know that God sees what's in their heart and knows what questions they're asking. And they fear the Lord. And they speak often with one another. They commune with one another. And the Lord, he hears and he sees that as well. And oftentimes, I know when we come together and we begin sharing burdens and things of deep meaning to ourselves, and we can relate to each other on a deeper level, there's such a beautiful fellowship that comes from that. Such a blessing. Because the Lord's in our midst when we are speaking of his word, when we're sharing with each other and even coming to the cross and realizing how much Christ suffered for us. And a book was written for them. Book of remembrance for them that feared the Lord and thought on his name. And the Lord says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Not the ones that were questioning, not the ones that were straying, but the ones that feared me. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For now, many of these things are hidden. And yet, as the scripture says, we groan for the manifestation of the sons of God, that these things would be revealed. We must take God at his word that he will bring it to pass. He's given us the clear instruction on how to prepare, how to make ready our hearts for the coming of the Lord. May God do his work, and may he bless his word. Amen.